scientists have detected silica-rich deposits on Mars using the rover Spirit. Stephen Squires and colleagues report in a paper that these opaline silica deposits are evidence of hydrothermal activity in the past. While such activity has been inferred from satellite missions operating above the red planet, this is the first time that scientists have found hydrothermal deposits from the planet's surface. I spoke with Squires from his office at Cornell University.
We've been exploring the surface of Mars with the rovers Spirit and Opportunity for the last 4 years now, and recently with the rover Spirit, we have found some very concentrated deposits of silica, amorphous silica, opal, if you will, on the surface of Mars. It's not quartz, it's not crystalline, this stuff is not beach sand. It's the kind of stuff that forms in a hydrothermal system. And the thing that makes that interesting is that you can go to hydrothermal systems on Earth and they're teeming with microbial life. Now, we have no idea whether there was any microbial life, of course, associated with these silica deposits on Mars, but they do represent evidence of an environment on Mars that we think in the past would have been suitable for some simple forms of life.
Are the instruments aboard the Spirit rover able to analyze these deposits to the detail needed?
Yeah, we've got a suite of instruments, and we used basically everything on the payload to go after this stuff. We first spotted these deposits in some pictures taken with our cameras. We then looked at them with our infrared spectrometer, and that showed what looked like strong evidence for amorphous silica on the surface. We then drove over to these deposits, and using the suite of instruments on the rover's arm, particularly our alpha particle X-ray spectrometer, which tells us about which chemical elements are present, measured the composition of this stuff and determined, you know, what it was made of. And then once we had found the initial deposits, we went and searched that same area and found a number of additional deposits of the same stuff. One of the things that was interesting about this was that the initial discovery was purely serendipitous.
How did it happen?
The right front wheel on Spirit doesn't turn anymore. It makes it very difficult to drive. It's a six-wheel vehicle, but the right front wheel doesn't turn. And what that means is we have to drive backwards, dragging the dead wheel as we go. And it makes it very difficult to drive. It's really complicated, the mission. But the silver lining here is that this dead wheel digs this wonderful hundreds of meters long trench through the Martian soil as we drive. And the first discovery of the silica was some stuff that popped up in some soil on the floor of that trench, and we wouldn't have seen it if it hadn't been for the dead wheel. So it was kind of a lucky break.
How about the depth of these deposits? Is it likely they go very far down?
You know, it's really hard to tell how deep they go. In the soil, we can dig to a depth of, you know, 5 or 10 centimeters with the wheels, and certainly it's silica-rich in the spots that we've identified down that far. In the rocky deposits, that was an interesting one to try to determine because somehow you need to find a way to break open the rocks. And what we managed to do was we took some of these deposits, the rocky ones, and managed to crunch them, to break them with the rover wheels, just driving over them and you know, sort of blunt force trauma in the service of science, busting up these rocks. And we managed to break off a piece that was, you know, 3 or 4 centimeters in size, and then we got lucky. It sort of obligingly flipped itself upside down, presenting a fresh surface to our spectrometer that we can measure. And in that instance, we also found that at least 3 or 4 centimeters down in the rock, it was very rich in silica. How deep beyond that it goes, it's anybody's guess.
Now, you mentioned that the processes here on Earth that make these silica deposits are often associated with teeming life. Is it possible that the way that these deposits were made on Mars is different in some fundamental way?
Well, we've looked pretty hard at the range of processes on Earth that we know can make these concentrated amorphous silica deposits. And there is a range of possibilities that can do it. It turns out that the solubility of silica in water is very dependent on both temperature and pH. So at neutral pH, what happens is that the silica can be very, very soluble, especially in hot water. And what happens in hot spring environments on Earth is that hot water will circulate beneath the surface where it will dissolve silica out of the rocks. It's hot, it is buoyant, it rises to the surface. As it rises, it cools, and then what happens is as it cools, the silica becomes less soluble and it precipitates out and makes these amorphous silica deposits. At very low pH, and in very, very acid environments, you know, places where the pH is 1 or less, the silica is actually very insoluble. And when you when you have very caustic, acidic vapors that are being released from, you know, volcanic environments, things that are called fumaroles, it can condense and form this very concentrated acid on the surface of the rocks, and it can leach away almost everything else, and then it leaves these very concentrated deposits of amorphous silica behind. So, you know, depending on what the pH was in this environment on Mars, it could have been either of those processes or something in between. The point is, though, that both of those involve hydrothermal activity. Both of those involve water coming into contact with hot rocks. And you can go to fumaroles and you can go to hot springs on Earth, and they have lots of microbial life associated with them. So we think for the entire span of processes, at least that we know about, for making this stuff, the conditions would have been suitable for some simple forms of life.
Does this discovery put a wrinkle into any models for the history of Mars?
I don't think it really puts a wrinkle into any models for the history of Mars. We sort of always suspected that Mars is a place where there should have been hydrothermal activity. We look at the planet from orbit, you see lots and lots of evidence for water on the surface and for ice below the surface. And then you look at the planet from orbit, and you also see lots of evidence for volcanism. You see big volcanoes, you see lava flows, you see, you know, powerful evidence that the planet's been volcanically active over most of its history. If you got lots of volcanism and lots of water, it's kind of hard to avoid hydrothermal activity. But this is the first time down on the ground that we have really found this powerful evidence of hydrothermal deposits on the planet's surface.
So this wouldn't necessarily suggest a new place to land, but more about the instrumentation that you'd like to see on future.
Well, I think it does say that hydrothermal deposits, by showing that these sort of hydrothermal silica deposits do exist, I think it does suggest the strategy for landing for, say, a sample return mission. I mean, if you're doing a sample return mission, one of the things you're looking for is evidence of former life on the planet. And the nice thing about these silica deposits is not only do they represent an environment in which life might have been able to thrive, but the precipitation of silica can trap evidence for microbial life, sort of like bugs in amber. It's very good at making microbial fossils. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that necessarily Gusev Crater, where Spirit landed, is the place to go for sample return. There are probably better silica deposits elsewhere on the planet. But I think silica deposits of this sort, because both of what they represent in terms of the environment and their preservation potential for evidence of microbial life, represent a very appealing, very attractive target for a future landed mission.
Okay. Well, Steve Squires, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Steven Squires is lead author of a paper on the silicon-rich deposits on Mars. Read the paper in this week's Science.